We're teaching tonight off, it's basically two testimonies of faith that I believe is going to build you guys up. But before I do the teaching on that, I wanted to go back to what Milan is teaching on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anybody know their names?
Micah,
Azariah, Mishael, and Azariah, I believe. A neat thing about that story, which was something that's been on my heart that I've been wanting to share for a long time, and I think that I got permission to get to share before the teaching, was what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king. They had faith to be delivered, but they said, but if we're not delivered, we're not going to do it. That is the power of resurrection. How powerful is it to be focusing on the resurrection? Think about it.
What did they say?
They go, if we're not delivered, we're still not going to bow down to your God. Now think about the power of a resurrection, because if we do die, the next thing we see is our Elohim, our God. Yeah. And that's how we're going to go out? By obeying Him?
Amen.
That's a good way to go out. And you see, King David received power from that also, from power of resurrection. That here is the king, or excuse me, here's Goliath, a 9.5 to 10.5 foot tall Philistine. And here it is, and Yahweh goes out, I believe Yahweh gave him a green light, you're the guy. Gonna go, man, what if I'm wrong? But what a way to go out. Fighting for you? And the next thing I'm gonna see is you? Man, if I'm gonna mess up, and then we look at, not that we invite death, and we should not be looking for death, because 2 Corinthians 5:14-15 says we're to live for Him. But if we find ourselves inside of a crisis situation by holding fast to the resurrection power, we will become infused with power, and our faith will rise up to say, if this is how I'm going out, if a grizzly bear is coming in the house, and I believe that I've just been doing a teaching on rising up, and I can move mountains, and he's going to possibly eat all my family, well, now's the time to walk the walk. And if I don't, what a way to go out. You know, they're going to go, man, I think about that with, I was witnessing to Rachel one time, and as I was witnessing to Rachel, it's wonderful when you witness to people, how Christ just starts working through you. Wonderful words of encouragement, things, and wise things come out of your mouth, and all I can do is whenever I get a compliment from it, I go, I'm just thankful that I get to deliver any of his messages. Because I'm not that smart, but I do get to relay things. And if I stay humble, like Joseph did, he goes, I can't interpret anything, but I know who can. I think about Chris Peronto, 13 hours of Benghazi. What was that guy thinking?
Yeah.
How are you going to go out? We're abandoned in Benghazi. They're going to wipe us out, and you're not thinking 2 days in advance. You're not thinking, you're gonna, if this is how I'm going out fighting, and look where this guy is today.
Yeah.
And with the resurrection, he's a believer. If I'm going to die, the next thing I'm going to see is Christ. We should think about each day. Are we going to die sleeping in? Is that going to be the last thing? When is Christ coming back? What's going to be the end chapter of your testimony in your book? And that's how we should be thinking each day. Is it going to be being selfish, sleeping in, not reading the Word, not witnessing? I can understand. All of us can have that. Well, I don't want to witness because I really don't want to be rejected right now. They're going to go, well, what if this is your last day? And I believe that's how David did it. And David was able to endure, and yeah, he got promoted and promoted and promoted, living each day as if it was his last day before he went before Christ. And yeah, man, what a way. And I believe that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. And they think about Daniel, too, in the lines then. Sometimes we look at it, boy, look at these guys' faith. I can't relate to that kind of faith. But, because I'm not Daniel, I'm not these guys yet. But if somebody were to say, hey, Aaron, what if this is your last breath? What if this is your last moment? What did Daniel do? Here's an 80-year-old man. Are you going to die bowing down or not bowing to Yahweh? He opens up his doors and goes, what a way to go out. Were there other Hebrews there? Absolutely. And everybody saw him. I'm not bowing. And then here's Daniel going, an 80-year-old man going, hey, if this is how I'm going to die, it's a good way to die. It's a good death. And that's how Ward is doing. I was talking to Rachel, and those words were coming out. I go, look at Chris Pratt. Look what this guy's doing now. Because of that, each day, how are you going to go out? You're going to go out fighting, knowing that the next thing you see is Christ. And Christ goes, man, you did everything right. You said you should have ducked that last bullet. But man, I was day going to go? Or do we want to go the last day and go, you took 2 weeks off, right? What'd you do for, we just let you slept in for 2 weeks and you ate nachos. You're like, well, but anyways, but that's, now back to the testimonies. We'll turn to, actually, before we turn there, the teaching was, when Spire allowed us, we got together to do a Bible study, and instead of a Bible study, we did testimonies, sharing things that are working around, going in our lives, which is something we need to be doing more often. What do you need prayer for? What do you need help? Does anybody need a prophecy? Anybody need a prayer? And to remember to come back to that fellowship. But as we were doing that, Dad brought up that Melania, or Dad had Melania take out Deuteronomy 28. And this is my recollection of the testimony. And it can demand, not say, demand Deuteronomy 28. Subdue it. Are you doing the word? Are you fulfilling your calling? Are you being obedient? Yeah. And you don't have the results that they belong to you? Demand it. And as Dad was sharing that before Melania's healing, because of that testimony, guess what's got stirred up? Aaron, you do the same thing tonight, but it was in a different venue. I knew exactly what I was supposed to do that night. And then Anita, how perfect of a Lord and Savior we have. He knows how to communicate to us. It's not necessarily even in word, but he communicates, you know what you're supposed to do now. That night, even during the rest of the testimonies, that new mission was stirring up in me. I knew what I was supposed to do. I was saying, focus, and I'll say, please remind me so I don't forget. And please remind me. I called the inner witness aside. You will remind me. I got it better than the post-it note. I got the Ruach Kadesh, right? And what I did is I went up to my office, and I tried to go to bed early, but this was going to require me staying up a little bit later that night. And we'll go to Deuteronomy 28. And here's what he did with me. That's page, I think it's 226. How important it is for us to be witnessing, telling testimonies, sharing testimonies. And even if we find, I think that when we find that when we're fellowshipping with people or sitting around sharing stories, that I think we should be intentional with inserting testimonies. Let's be really good. It said Ronald Reagan was good at projecting his optimism. We should be good at projecting and inserting testimonies whenever we can. Because it's a living, breathing thing, and it stirs stuff up. Because Dad's testimony, what happened to Mel, this is where this teaching is coming from. And so what I did, what was stirred up inside of me, what was communicated, was to, I had been investing Yahweh's money and Christ's money that had been given to me. He'd been telling me how to invest it. And I don't give money. I invest. And you go, and then you tell me to do this, I'm not just going to give it away. Now I'm going to invest it, and I'm going to expect a return on this thing. Because if I plant one corn, a kernel, it could come back with six different ears, right? Mm-hmm. And going to go, I'm going to be held accountable for all I'm in steward of. And so, anyways, I've been investing and investing and investing and investing in different things. As I believe Yahweh was desiring, but one thing I wasn't doing is I wasn't demanding the harvest. I was kind of just being obedient. So I was doing pretty good. And so I got down on my hands and knees. I got a piece of paper. And with me, it's like if I don't get on my hands and knees, there is no conversation. It's like not even picking up the phone. And so I get down on there, my hands and my knees, and get my piece of paper out, and the first thing was write down every amount that comes to your mind that you've invested this year. I wrote that amount. I wrote that amount. I wrote that amount. I wrote it down and added it up. And he goes, and now the next thing was, well, what kind of harvest do you want? And I went, well, 100-fold. That's really easy. Easy math. Just add 2 zeros behind it. I added it up. He goes, write it down. I had to put in big numbers there. And then I went to Deuteronomy 28.
Deuteronomy what?
28.
Before it, you can see cursed, 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 cursed for violating the law. That is saying that which you sow, you will reap. And a good thing. So, you want to know what kind of harvest you can have each day? What have you been sowing? And our Lord's so wonderful that if you've been sowing bad things, repent, fall down, and say, "I don't want." I'm sorry. Nebuchadnezzar did it real quick. And we could do the same thing. Repent, repent. But Yahweh's showing the consequences of disobeying my law. But in Deuteronomy 28, and it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments which I am commanding thee today, then will Yahweh thy Elohim set thee on high above the nations. And above all, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and reach thee, because thou dost hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim. And I just read that, and I was planning on reading the whole chapter. And I thought, nope, that was it. And then while I was on my hands and my knees, I said, I have done your word, I've been doing your word, I have been obeying your word, and I've been advancing in my discipline for you, for your son, and I am demanding now a hundredfold return. And I waited there for a second. And you know, Israel and Shana just got a Labrador puppy. Who has authority? Does Ruth have authority over the puppy, or does the puppy have authority over Ruth? Well, it's up to mom and dad. They have given Ruth, she's three, authority over the puppy. But does the puppy just submit? No, you have to force it. You have to earn it. And so even when the puppy gets bigger than Ruth, she's still going to be, no, no. The dog's going to be like, yeah. He's going to push it. So does Yahweh put us in a situation going, you're going to have to earn it. Earn it. Demand it. Make it. And so you can imagine to go out there, and sometimes you're being, he's giving you the green light to demand authority over a poodle. Now demand authority over a grizzly. How would you talk to a grizzly bear? I don't know. And so that's where you should put yourself. Now he's going to advance. And sometimes you're going to be speaking to an elephant. And does an elephant, if Israel and Shana owned an elephant, and they had power over the elephant, and the elephant knew it, and they told Ruth, you tell the elephant what to do, then they would say, you just do it. Do it. You have to earn it. So that's how Yahweh's word worked. And what I did that night is I confessed it. And then it was communicated, stick it on a wall, put it right there so you can see it. Because these things are real. And here's what, and so then, okay, I'm just being obedient. And it reminded me with the word, so many times we're obeying, we're planting, we're doing our will. But a good steward goes out there and demands a harvest. Sometimes what's missing in your life right now is you're not saying, I want it now. And we're not being honest with ourselves. Do you want it now? Yeah, but I'm just kind of being patient. Go out there and demand it now. I want it now. And then you do it humbly. And then if Yahweh Christ says, be patient, you got some more time, they'll tell you, right? But if they don't tell you not to, then you go, no, maybe this is faith training. Because Tim did something that was real important with his teaching. He said once, he said, we sweat in peace so we don't have to bleed in battle. And it could be that all of us were being trained for a Goliath. And so with this, but anyways, I'm going to come back to the teaching. Anyways, that night as I go to bed, I try to go to bed early, I turn off my phone so I don't get any messages from the internet because I have friends on the other side of the earth. And as I'm sleeping, I get a message like at midnight. And it wakes me up out of my light sleep. I get irritated. I'm like, what inconsiderate person sends me a message this late? Because they know I try to go to bed early, you know. Anyways, I roll my eyes. I'm not looking at the phone. Nope. And then in the morning, I'm sleeping before my alarm clock goes off. I get another message. And I'm rolling over. I know it's the same person. I'm really irritated. Going, no, I'm going to sleep. Then I get another message. And then I'm really irritated. I grab the phone. I'm like, who the heck is blowing me up at midnight and then 5 o'clock in the morning? Or it might have been 5:30.
David.
And I look at it, and you know who it was? It couldn't have been David. The internet's turned off. There's a client sending a text message. And I specifically tell clients, I can't send text messages. I cannot communicate through text message. If you send me one, I can't respond. I'm not allowed. And I look at it, and here's all these messages, and she's not even a client. She's a prospect. I don't work for her. Although I was referred to her by one of my clients, and she just moved here, and she's a single Seventh-day Adventist, a woman that's been living in a lot of fear, and there's a lot of very unusual fears. One appointment went out to her house at 3 o'clock and left at 9 o'clock at night. Yeah, and witnessing, being there, not sure if I'm going to help her or not. We did some paperwork, but man, this thing was, talk about a long shot. But I got a text message, I need an appointment today. Call me as soon as you can. And I look over and I went, all of a sudden I got a real peaceful chime. Do it. So here I am in my underwear. I get on my knees. Is there anything I need to know? I call her up. She goes, I need you to come out today. I have to have paperwork done today. It's an emergency. Anyway, she's going to sign some paperwork? This thing's been like 3 months in the making. Talk about long shots. Anyway, they said, okay, I'll be out there at 10:30. I go out to her house, and here's a very large sum of money that she's going to invest, and she's going to move all this stuff. But it's such a long shot. She doesn't live here. She doesn't want to tell me what her address really is. I'm like, we can't do any financial transactions if you're not going to tell me your address and your social security number. Well, okay. anyways, I go out, and she would fill out all this paperwork, and then she goes, look, this paperwork has to be in within 3 days. And I look at this, she goes, can we do that? I go, yeah, we can do that. We're going to get into this thing notarized. I can have it the next day here, but we can have it there. But then, anyways, here's a gigantic sum of money. There's something else about that, too. Actually, there was she had two different investments. She was going to move the smaller investment, which is about $100,000 less than the big investment. And when we went to go move it, the paperwork that we opened up was $100,000 more than the smaller investment. And she goes, I don't understand. There's got to be a mistake here. I want to move the smaller investment. And I'm like, okay. So we call, and we're doing this phone call, and we talk to the HR department. And the HR department says, no, that's the right amount. And I go, how can that be the right amount? She went, wow, you just made $100,000 in like a month. This lady made $100,000 in a month, which with her allocation, this is not. I looked at this. She goes, is that okay? I went, I said, I can think of worse ways to spend your day. $100,000. I go, yeah, that's a good thing. Anyways, we get done with that. Fill the paperwork out, and she shakes my hand. She's a really neat believer. And you know what she says? She says, Aaron, do you know why I called you last night? I said, no. It was 11 o'clock at night. I'm lying in bed. And all of a sudden, get out of bed. Go open up your mail. She goes, oh, I knew it. I was supposed to go open my mail. So she had stacks of mail that had been piled up for a month. A huge package she had looked through. Yahweh, through Christ, told her to go open that mail. She opened up the mail, and it says, this thing's got to be in 3 days, or she's going to have a real, real, real problem. But because she did do it, and we got the paperwork, her account's up $100,000. I sat there. I got goosebumps. I knew exactly what had happened. Turn to John chapter 4. Before we turn in there, when I was doing claiming the chesed, the obligatory covenant Yahweh has with us, Yahweh says, if you do this, I have to do this. If you do this, I have to do this. And he says it. If you sow, you will reap. If you obey, you will do this. And he goes, the eyes of Yahweh are towards the righteous. His ears towards their cry for help. But are you crying for help?
Yeah, that's right.
No, you're not towards. You're not crying. But you cry for help. He's going to hear you. But he's an obligatory covenant. Mark 11:23 says, say it like you mean it. And act like you already got it. So how do you confess it? And then Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing the spoken word, the rhema. And then in 2 Corinthians 4:13, man, you want to do it. What a great scripture for any one of us. I believe it, therefore I speak it. And that's where, in a loving way, spouses would be great ones. Going to go, is that what you want? You'll have what you say. You're speaking a lot of garbage. You'll have what you say. And so I took those scriptures and I did that. Oh yeah, and the hundredfold also, which was really neat. Where did I get the hundredfold? Because in Genesis 26:12, Isaac. I'll turn there real quick. It's really a neat scripture about Isaac. Because it said, and Isaac sowed in the land, 26:12, and found in the same year a hundredfold, seeing that Yahweh had blessed him. Yahweh blessed him. So the man waxed great and went on and waxed on great until he had waxed exceedingly great. So he became to have possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and large bodies of servants, and the Philistines envied him because Yahweh blessed him. I claimed 100-fold, and that's what started this thing. Page 96, are you guys already there?
96 in John?
Page 96, John chapter 4. So with the prospect, she's not even necessarily a client. We fill out the paperwork, but in the back of my mind, this is still a long shot. But there's a lot of things that have to come together for this thing to work out. But in the back of my mind, like he does with all of us, he kind of gets... Mary said that, I think with Mary, there's a couple things happen. I think Mary, when Jesus Christ, when Yehoshua was 12 years old, he said, should I deal with my father's business? It says Mary was listening. She was taking notes. Even with all this, I was going, what's going on here? So I think something wonderful is in the works. John chapter 4, verse 46. Mom, would you read 44 through 50?
50?
44.
Verse 44 through 50. It's on the next page.
Page 96.
For Yahushua himself bear witness that. Is that what you want me to read?
Yeah.
A prophet in his own fatherland hath not honor. So when he came into Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all things whatsoever he had done in Jerusalem during the feast. But they also went unto the feast. So he came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain courtier whose son was sick in Capernaum. The same, hearing that Yahushua had come out of Judea into Galilee, came away unto him and began requesting him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was on the point of dying. Yahushua therefore said unto him, except signs and wonders ye see, in no wise will ye believe. The courtier saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Yahushua saith unto him, Be going thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed in the word which Yahushua spake to him, and at once went his way.
Wonderful thing about this occurs. Dad first brought it up about, I think it was kid, talking about the distance. There's a bunch of really neat things that happen in this. At the beginning of it, 43 and 44, Yahushua, he went to Galilee. Why? To bear witness that they're not going to accept the prophet from his own hometown. That wouldn't be a fun mission.
Yeah.
They're going to reject me. How many people are going to receive it? Nobody? All right. As long as I got the heads up. Did he have to produce faith? Absolutely. And even with Yehoshua or Jesus Christ, he probably didn't realize this until afterwards. You know, what's the point of going and doing a festival when nobody gets converted, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but in this case, but in this thing, Dad pointed up about the distance between Cana and Capernaum. And now, I haven't validated this, but you can look it up, you can go to Google, and you can say, how far is Capernaum from Cana? 16 miles. You can Google, what's the average speed that a man walks? It says 3.1 miles. You can walk four, it's a fast walk. It would depend on how fast the man walks. They said the average man walks 3 miles an hour. You're talking about a 5.3 hour walk. That's from Wichita to Dallas. Somebody goes, hey, I need you to come see my son. Where is he? He's in Dallas. What? Is Jesus Christ a busy man?
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2-day walk. There and back. This is a tall order, and some neat things are happening here, because the parallel Bible will say that he goes, he comes to Yahushua because he heard about what they'd done, turning the water into wine. Let me see here. Yeah, they heard about these things, and he says, come and heal my son. And Jesus Christ responds, unless you see a sign, you're not going to believe. What's going on there? Now, I'm going to tell you what the parallel Bible is saying, then I'm going to show, kind of share what I believe also. The parallel Bible believes that Yahweh and Christ are testing the sincerity of the Father. Are you really here to see tricks? Where Herod wanted to see tricks. Or do you want to see these things? And they believe that was a test, because later on you find out that the Father did want it. Now, I'm going to say, I think it was Jesus Christ confronting the unbelief of the Father. I think he had unbelief. And in Mark 9:23, Mark 11:23, you shall have what you sayeth. We have the faith to move mountains, right? Mark 9:23, the man whose son was not being healed, have mercy on him. You can do anything you want. Jesus Christ says, all things are possible to you. He put it right back on the father. Who was the problem? And why could they cast out the demons from this father's kid? It was the father's believing. That's where the problem was in that. And he goes, help me with my unbelief. And did Christ help him with his unbelief when he acknowledged? You're right. I need more faith. Where was the problem with that son? You need more faith. He goes, give me more faith. He got more faith. His son was healed. In this case, I believe that this father's faith was not going to be where it needed to be until he addressed it, because this would be offensive too. You're not going to believe me unless you see a sign. Now, that's what I believe. And the courtier, what did he say? Sir, come down or my child die. And dad brought this up with kiddo going, you're talking about 2 days out of Jesus Christ, or 2 days out of his ministry. His ministry is probably 6 months. 2 days is very valuable. But in this case, something is going on inside the father. Jesus, Yehoshua, saith unto him, seeing the guy's faith level. He's about here, and I believe it, with this interaction, his faith's here. Yehoshua says, if you don't see a sign, you're not going to believe. And I believe the Father says, my faith is here now. He will be healed. And Yehoshua goes, yeah, but your faith needs to be here for that. Can Yahweh see the full cost of a bill to fix something? He can give like an estimate. He can also give an estimate how much faith is necessary for you to get the promises, for you to get the results. And sometimes he's going to tell you what the balance sheet is, and you're going to think you're being picked on.
Yeah.
You're not being picked on. He's a good appraiser. He's going to, I know how to fix this. And does he want to heal you more than you want to be healed? Yes, Romans 8, 31 and 32 is that. Does he want to reward you more than you want to be rewarded if you're good? Absolutely. Does he want to set you on high? Absolutely. But sometimes what's missing is your faith is here. And your faith needs to be here for him to get you the results that he wants to get to you. Have you ever had that where somebody's trying to deliver something? They want you to be a satisfied client. They want you to be satisfied. They're going, we're trying to get a hold of you. We got a package. Oh man, I thought you were soliciting thing. Here's Yahweh going, how many times in our lives, he's going, your faith needs to rise up. Man, you're always picking on me. He's going, no. Raise your faith up. It's like opening up your mailbox. Open up your door. I'm bringing in a big screen TV. Would you open your door on that? Yeah. Well, then raise your faith. And in this case, Yehoshua said unto him, be going thy way. You need your faith here. Here's how expensive this bill is. Be going thy way, thy son liveth. Where? That's not what the man said earlier. You got to come. Have you ever done that? Where your faith raised, you just realize your faith rose, and you're satisfied, you're excited, but what did I just walked on water. And Yehoshua and Yahweh, when you don't understand, that is nice. You need to be here. But we got to get here. And in this case, Yehoshua raised it up. He goes, go. What did the man do? And let's see. Be going thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word of Yehoshua. What just happened there? A miracle. His faith got brought up. He wrote the word that Yehoshua spoke to him, and at once went his way. And when he was even going down, remember this is a 5.5 hour walk. What kind of walk is this? His servants met him saying that his boy was living. So inquiring the hour from them when he began to amend, they said therefore unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father took note that it was in that hour when Yehoshua said unto him, thy son liveth. And he goes, man, look at what this guy did. Tell me what time it was. And think about it, Yahweh and Christ were keeping note of everything this guy was doing. Was Yahweh blessed that this man was being a good steward? I want to know when this happened. And he rose his faith to a whole other level and goes, I knew it. And what happened with me, because of Dad and Melania's testimony, that there was something that was missing, and it wasn't just in my life. This woman's had $100,000 on the line. $100,000 and a gigantic nightmare where all her life savings was going to get tied up and it was going to be a nightmare. And where was the problem? In this situation, Yahweh goes, Aaron, you're the problem. I'm the problem. I'm a good guy. No, you don't understand, Aaron. This isn't anything personal. You've got to raise your faith. What do you mean I've got to raise my faith? But he did through that testimony. And by raising that faith that day, that night, it loosened everything up. And now I got to see this woman. I got to talk to her again. You're up $100,000 on this account. And now I'm having to do paperwork to explain to people and underwriters, this is not the same investment. Or you lied on the paperwork. No, it rose $100,000 that quickly. What kind of investments do that? Now you got to understand that there's some very high risk investments you can do that. But this is a supernatural testimony. And this should stir up inside you to go, what is he wanting you to do? Now, why does he want to raise your faith? What is it? Let me see here. In my case, what was going on in my own testimony, what Dad did with Melania too, sometimes you feel like he might be picking on you. If you're not getting what you want, I'm single, been single for 8 years. Izzy called me out. I said, please pray for me to have some pretty girls flirt with me on the boat so I don't get too lonely because there's going to be married people everywhere. Izzy goes, you should be just confessing to meet your wife. I went, thanks a lot. but he was right though, right? He knows what I want. Why are you messing around with this thing? And Dad did the same thing with Melania. You probably felt like he was picking on you a little bit, right? And he goes, no. He knew what you want. You need to own it and start acting like you really want it and go get it. And what is you? And I don't necessarily know why you're not getting some of the things. And it could be I wasn't even praying and saying, I need this income. No, y'all just goes, you shouldn't need this. Go demand this stuff. And who knows, maybe all the income is coming in. He's going to want me to give 100% away. There could be $1 million bill right over here, and I need somebody to be the money man. I need somebody to be the Western Union to shell the money. Aaron, can I trust you with $1 million? Yes, sir. Man, can you imagine? Because if I give away $1 million, I'm going to add 2 more zeros to that. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! You're going to go, man, that's what he needs. He needs good stewards. And in this case, Matthew 7:7 in my case says, be seeking, be asking, be knocking, be. Didn't say stop. Work it, earn it, earn it, earn it. Your father, you have some kids, she just got her first buck. You gotta earn it. I bet your dad can probably get stressed out a little bit trying to get you to that level to get that buck on the wall. But he knows how much you're going to appreciate when you get it, right? And here's Yahweh going, look, earn this stuff. Earn it. You got one life to live. This is the book you're writing. People are going to read your book forever. What are they going to read? How everybody just handed stuff to you? They tied a deer up to a tree and you got to shoot it? Then everybody lied to you and said you got it? Is that what you want people to read? Or do you want to read that you earned this thing? You climbed a mountain. You fell down a mountain. You got back up. You walked on water. And then you commanded your butt to get there. And you shot it right in the heart. And you went to sleep. And you prayed. Well, that's good writing. And how do you want to want your story to be written? Matthew 7:7. Be seeking. Be asking. Be knocking. James says, if you want wisdom, ask for it. You should be demanding. I should be demanding wisdom every day. And this morning, as I was saying my prayers, confessing scriptures, it's nice being single because I can yell as loud as I want in the shower without being reproved. Say it like you mean it. To say I'm a loud person is another statement. And I'm healed. I got this. I got that. I got it, baby. I'm in the shower yelling. And then I got down on my knees. And after I put on my armor, the helmet, the breastplate, the belt of truth, I said, give me wisdom. Yeah, give me wisdom today. And do you know what the response was immediately? Was communicated? Wisdom is obedience. Wisdom is obedience. No, I was looking for a bunch of books of knowledge. Yeah, oh, look how smart I am now. And then as I walk out, I start getting dressed. Wisdom is obedience. What does that even mean? Wisdom is obedience. And I was thinking about that. Then there's another testimony to tie to this. King Solomon, did he look wise when the two harlots were fighting over a baby? He only looked wise after he was obedient.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. If you saw two women fighting, and here's somebody you don't know, a pastor, he says, cut it in half. Does that look like love to you? Does that sound like he cared about that baby?
Yep.
When Yahweh told Solomon to do that, do you think Solomon felt like doing it?
No.
Does Yahweh see the future? Can he see how things are working out? Does he know how to resolve this thing? How is that baby's life saved? Obedience. And then everybody marveled and said, this man is with the Elohim, the creator of the universe. Wisdom is obedience. And in my case, I was like, okay, what are my missions today? Now I got so many things to do being gone so long. And there are three things that Yahweh told me to do. That was communicated. You got to do this and you got to do this today. And I'm like, okay. And so here I am getting ready for work. And one of them was to pay for the fish that Cayman and I got. All right. And I don't even remember what the other thing was. But the story about the fish with Cayman going deep sea fishing. You guys, what you have to understand is that I believe Yahweh told me to dangle that out if he got the best grade card ever. And then even after I dangle it, I said, Yahweh, you're going to have to do this because it's not going. I can't afford to do all this. But guess what happened? Cayman, even after missing 3 days of the last day of school, pulled it off somehow. We did get to go down. We got to use my airline miles. And one of the things was that Cayman wanted to go bottom fishing. And I'm like, bottom fishing? Come on, dude. We're in Fort Lauderdale. This is the deep sea fishing capital of the world. Do you guys know that? The deep sea fishing capital. They advertise it. I'm sitting there going, so we go to go bottom fishing. Here's this thing. It's Cayman's fishing trip. Are you sure you don't want to go for something big? No, I don't want anything big. Right. Okay, that's fine. But as we book our charter, we go have some lunch. We take some pictures. We've been confessing things. We have favor over the weather. We got this. We got this. We come back to go fishing, and one of these guys comes out. He goes, "Hey, you know, it's going to be $650 to go deep sea fishing. This is a lot of money. We're going to go for like $90. It's like $110 the two of us." The guy goes, "Okay, so you got the trip at 1:30 to go bottom fishing? Yeah, yeah." He goes, "Okay, all right." He goes, "So you like bottom fishing? Yeah, yeah, we like bottom fishing. Cayman's going to catch a parrotfish or a small grouper or a snapper." And the guy goes, "I tell you what, for $120, we'll take a deep sea fishing. $650, $120. Now I'm like, I don't know. Cayman, what do you think?" He goes, "Sure." "What's this sure thing?" And this guy goes, I go, "Are you sure, Cayman?" "Yep." As we go, we go out on the boat, we start recording everything. We're confessing. "God, we'll give you all the glory," and all these words are coming out. Of faith. And because we recorded, I was able to go back over the video and all these different things. Said, "I'm going to catch something so big it's going to hold a wall. I'm going to catch the biggest thing." And Cayman's, and the thing I was so proud about Cayman is that he didn't catch one single thing during the most historic fishing trip this group. Do you know what the name of the boat was? Big Game. And so it was Big Game, and here we are, this guy covered in tattoos, introduces us to Cayman. Here's Cayman. He's with these two guys on five pizzerias and a pub, and their dad. And then here's this other guy from Norway or Switzerland who's just been deep sea fishing that morning before. And I said, "Cayman, you see any other kids on this boat?" He goes, "Nope. You know, kids don't get to go on fishing trips like this." Anyways, on the fishing trip, the guy covered in tattoos started crying probably five or six different times because everything was going right. Everything was going right. And he goes, "You guys just don't understand." And then when I caught my huge shark, and I wanted to catch something bigger than me, and I did. It was just gargantuan shark. You should have saw this guy's his excitement. This guy was witnessing something, and this thing could be on ESPN everywhere. This is what you want to see with a fish. "Oh, wow, it's the biggest giant dusky dog." And we're reeling in, and he looks down at the fish, and he goes, "Do you realize how big of a dusky this is? And this thing's tagged. If you get this mounted, you can tag it, you can do this and that." And as I'm listening to all this excitement, and I'm really exhausted, I believe it was communicated, "Mount it." And I go, "Okay, I'll mount it." He goes, "You sure?" "Yeah, okay." I'm like, "Are you sure?" And I'm thinking, I can back out, right? And then after all this fish, we caught another giant lemon shark. The guy starts crying again. This guy covered in tattoos. He looks like somebody that blended right into a biker bar. And he looked like the tough, but he was being so tender on this whole ship. And one of the last things that was caught was Caven, because Caven lost like 6 fish. He was the only person not catching fish. I'm going, well, this whole thing was for him to catch something. And at the very end, Caven catches this big barracuda, and the same guy was like, man, this is the best trip ever. You guys don't understand. Everything's going right. Everything. He starts weeping again. He goes, Caven, you got this. This is a beautiful barracuda. Caven sees it after this whole thing. He goes, do you want to get this thing mounted? And I believe it was communicated, do it. And I'm like, you should. Okay. And I'm thinking, I can always back out. I can back out, right? And I get chewed out. But after I did all that, I talked to Caven and I said, you know, after this whole thing, I go, did you think about giving up? You had to think about getting up. You're the only one not catching. 3 hours. We want a 5-hour trip. We maxed out in 3 hours. And Caven goes, nope. Never gave up. He earned the heck out of that thing. Mm-hmm. How proud am I of that? Now think about Yahweh, what he's doing with us. Come on, man. Earn that sucker. Yeah. Earn that 30-pound red snapper. Woo. You got one life to live. It's these testimonies and these stories that you get to live. You only get one. And here he is. He knows the desires of your heart. He's going, come on, man. You got what it takes. You're just picking on me because you don't like me. I'm not picking on you, man. Come on. And the neat thing with all this, after this guy was getting his testimony, he did it twice. And I said, will you do that one more time so I can film it? And he looks, he goes, yeah, okay. And I was having to speak against the weather, too, because it started raining. And he comes in, and he goes, you guys, you don't understand. We did bottom fishing. We caught, boom, we caught this dusky. We went off the reef. We, boom, we caught this. We hit this fish. We hit this fish. We went under the bridge. He goes, and here's under this huge bridge. We caught like a 7-foot lemon shark. These people swimming and going by on a jet ski. And they're real close. He goes, don't fall in the water. They go, why? He went, I'm this big shark. And he goes, can you believe that? That shark's right there. And anyways, these guys are high-fiving, and all this stuff happens. And the guy gives a testimony again, which I'm like, great. And then afterwards, I was like, Yahweh and Christ, it's your money. What do you want me to do here? And I was in the mode. Yeah, I was in the zone. It's like witnessing to some. The words are coming. What to do? What to do? What to do? I said, Caven, I said, Father, what should be the tip on this? This is not something normal. And all I could think of was Peter crying before Jesus Christ, going, depart from me. I'm a sinful man with this kind of load of fish. This is something. And I knew that Yahweh and Christ were getting this guy's heart. He's getting somebody's attention. This was more than Caven's grade card. This is more than Caven getting rewarded. And obviously, I'm getting rewarded. It's about Yahweh going, I haven't given up on you. I love you, man. I'm not going to give up on you. And this guy's crying. He keeps going back in and out. And he's going, sorry, man, here I am. And here's this big muscle tattooed guy. And I gave Caven a big tip that I prayed about and a business card for Telios Ministry. Caven went and gave it to him. Do I have to? Yes, you do. And you go thank him. You shake him. You squeeze his hand. You look him in the eye. You tell him, great job. Okay. And you gave him the money, all this cash. Caven's like, whoa. All right. I don't know what's going on with this thing. And anyways, the guy invites me into the cab, and he's weeping. And he goes, thank you for this. It wasn't the money. It was a Telios card. He goes, thank you for this. My mom has always loved the Lord. I know the Lord. And this and that. He starts weeping, and his snot's coming down his nose, and he's weeping, and this and that. And he's all over the place. I can't even necessarily understand what he's saying. And I go, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to give this guy a prophecy. And I said, you mind if I pray? No, all right, man. And the dude, the sweaty dude, tattooed, covered dude that smoked like 65 cigarettes, is hugging me. I'm like, yeah, yuck. I gave him a prophecy, and I don't even know what the prophecy was, but it was something about him as this young boy or something. I get done, and he hugs me and squeezes me. We go back, and he keeps looking up in the sky, and he's like, somebody was still calling for him. We go back at the end of all this, and anyways, he wants to take pictures with Caven and I, holding up Caven's fish, the pictures or whatever, with all this. We got these pictures. Who is this guy? I don't know, but he's pretty important to somebody else.
Yeah.
And here we are walking out in faith and going, this guy. And anyways, as I'm looking at all this, now I'm going, I want a shark mounted. I want a barracuda mounted and a shark. There's a lot of money we're talking about here. And so here's what's been happening since then. In the back of my mind, in the back of my mind, I've had, okay, let's just be honest. Maybe I did something foolish. Maybe I shouldn't have done this thing. So I had to put a big, it's not a deposit. You can't get your money back on this thing. I had to sign this paperwork. I did get the name of the shark. They measured it. It's recorded 88 inches. I got 88 inches. Man, I was this close to 7 feet. And I wanted a 7 foot, 88 inches. I was this close. It was like 3 days later, and I'm like, it was 7'4". I was disappointed for like 3 days. But anyways, I got the whole plaque. I got the name of it. They tagged it. And now, and here's the whole certificate. There's a shark in the ocean, a migratory shark at Dusky, whose name is Yahweh is Faithful. And here's the whole certificate. And now, the most important part of this whole testimony was that I had been hem-hawing whether to finish this whole thing. To finish the taxidermy, to go do this, I'm going, I could back out, I could cut my losses, maybe I put myself into position, and I've been fighting and fighting and fighting, and then I've been having like, no, you need to do this. And then even last night, I was FaceTiming Cave, and I said, hey, we got a new pet. I was going to tell him about the Harold the tarantula. And he went, oh, you got the fish? His face lit up, and I went, I almost think about cutting ties on the fish. Thinking about it, but then that night, I went to bed, and the first thing Yahweh said in the morning, he goes, you order that fish. You order the fish. Pray about it. It's his money. All right. Okay. Order it. And after I ordered it, remember that lady with the testimony? Got to talk to her. Everything's working out great. And she's going to invest even more money. Whoa, look at that. Isn't that neat? I was walking around the house before the teaching, and all of a sudden, revelation came in. And Yahweh revealed to me the other half of the whole thing. How much money does Yahweh have?
Never ends.
Does he have a credit problem?
No.
What he does have a problem with is who he can trust with his money. And it could be he gave you money and you're not going to give it to who you were supposed to give, and he's not going to give you more money. Worthy of little, worthy of much. And in my case, I hadn't done that. I hadn't finished the purchase of the two fish. But once I did it, and once I was obedient, guess what was revealed to me? Aaron, this guy gets commissioned.
Oh, yeah.
I went, could this guy be waiting from 3 months ago for his commission, for this miracle that Yahweh had been doing and tugging at his heart and tugging at his heart, and Yahweh promised this, but he's still going, I don't know, maybe this isn't going to work out, maybe it is. Is this to pay off an important cancer bill? I don't know what it is. Maybe this guy is out there demanding his chesed. I've invested 100-fold, I'm going to get 100-fold, and Yahweh says, go do it. But I realized that I was this close to blowing all of it, and Yahweh was going to explain himself to me until after I did it. You're going to see how all these things came full circle around.
Wow.
That with this guy, it was Yahweh's money. He wanted me to give Yahweh's money to him. I don't know why that's going on. I apologize. And in the same circle, Yahweh was telling this woman to invest with me. And so, his name's Mick. Mick. I like to be like Mick Dundee. And it was neat. So he's got all the paperwork. Yahweh's faithful. He's got Telios business card. He's got a prophecy. And whatever it was, can you imagine being a part of Peter being called when he was weeping?
Yeah.
Kind of, I was there, man. What do you mean you were there? I was the guy when Yahushua was asking which nets. I got the best net. I was there. And I got to be there for that. Yeah. We'll go ahead and hear from our Father. So if anybody like to speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy, please go ahead. Do not be fearful in this life, and do not choose fear, for it is a choice that you have. But choose faith and obedience, knowing that as you live inside my word by reading on it, meditating on it, and refining it the way a goldsmith or a smith would refine wood or steel, know that you will rise up in your faith to achieve and do all that I've called you to do. I ask you to do difficult things because I believe in you. So many times you feel so alone because you don't believe in yourself, or you think you have nobody loyal or nobody who really cares for you. But I have never left you, nor will I leave you, as long as you're walking in obedience and in love and in light. And if you do mess up, all you have to do is confess your sins and you can reunite. and know that I will believe in you and I will lead you to victory.